Good evening, church. How are we doing tonight? All right. For me, I'm not really feeling well, so please bear with me, okay? So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open them to Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We are continuing our series called The Questions of Jesus, and as we learn, Jesus didn't just stand on the hillsides and deliver theological lectures into the wind. He engaged people. He looked them in the eyes and asked people very pointed and very direct questions. He's used questions to strip away our excuses and to lead people to faith and to challenge them to follow him completely. You know, these questions did not just stay in the first century. They still echo into our lives today and challenge us to respond. So last week, we started with a very heavy question. Have you counted the cost? Tonight, we're focusing on two deeply personal questions that Jesus asked his disciples. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? These are questions that really cuts right into the core of how we see our lives and how we remember God's past faithfulness and what is really happening inside our hearts. But before we dive into the text, I need to be honest with you. I really do. Preaching tonight is not easy for me. And in fact, it feels like a bit like standing in the middle of a storm and still trying to say, hey, Jesus, I trust you. Many of you know that our family has been walking through a difficult season. My wife, Joyce, has been fighting a battle with brain tumor. So hospital visits, treatments, all that sort of things. So I took leave from my job to care for her, and I was grateful for that time. Then only days after that leave ended, and after 24 years working with my same company, I parted ways with my company. Mutually agreed, but you know what that means. I didn't feel like I have a choice. I started there as a young man. I became one of the executives, and I thought I would retire there. But then in one conversation, I was gone. I wish I could tell you that I handled it with perfect faith, that I smiled and walked away singing praises, but I didn't. That's not what happened. I feel like I was in a small boat on a dark sea in the middle of a storm. I knew the Bible. I have seen God's faithfulness before, but in that moment, I was completely preoccupied with what I had lost, my bread, my income, my sense of security, and my identity. And one night, I was sitting on a couch and doing a mental math, right? Severance pay, savings, bills, and future plans. And in that quiet moment, I sensed that the Holy Spirit gently but firmly asking me the same questions that Jesus asked his disciple in that boat so long ago in Mark chapter 8. Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? And at that moment, I knew I had to pause and I have to re-examine my heart again. And you know what? It was not pretty. Worry, feared, anger, and a heart was more focused on what I have lost than who I still had. I'm telling you, Jesus' questions in Mark chapter 8 are not just for the disciples. They are also for me and for all of you too. So let's bring this a little closer to your life. What is your bread? What is the one thing when it's missing causes you to panic? My bread is the income, the security, and identity. For some of you, the students, maybe your bread is your grades, right? You've got exam coming up, and the pressure is suffocating, and you're awake at night thinking, hey, if I fail this, my future is over. Suddenly, the exam becomes bigger than God. For some of you, maybe it's a relationship. You are single, and you're worried that you'll never meet someone. Or you're dating, and you're so anxious about whether that person is the one. You know, that relationship anxiety becomes one of the loudest voices in your heart. And for parents, your breath might be your children. You worry about their health, their friends, their futures, and their faith. For some of you, it's a job, your business, your profession. You've got lots of pressure from your boss. You really stress out about the sales numbers, and your mind's always calculating and working all night long. Here's what I've learned. We all have our own kind of bread. We all have that one thing. When threatened or missing, will definitely make us feel like everything is falling apart. And when that actually happens, something subtly begins to happen in our hearts. We stop looking at Jesus, and we start staring at the problem. We experience a huge miracle on Tuesday, but by Thursday, we're panicking about Friday because we don't know what to expect and happen. Yes, we have seen God's provision, but the moment another trouble came along, we act as if we have never seen him do anything for us at all. You know, the disciples show us exactly how this played out. Think about it. These were the guys who walked with Jesus. They saw his power up close and personal. If anyone should have trusted him, it was them. But look at what happened to them. Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, we're going to see how the Pharisee and the Jesus disciple in response to his mighty deeds. So let's see what happened. Let's talk about the Pharisee first. Just after Jesus fed 4,000 people earlier in Mark chapter 8, Jesus get into the boat and with his disciple and move on his journey. The Pharisee came out marching toward Jesus and basically says, hey Jesus, show us a sign from heaven so that we might know you are the one. Now here's the thing. The Pharisee followed Jesus almost everywhere. Just not long ago, Jesus healed a man right there at that synagogue. The Pharisees were there and they were watching Jesus performing miracles. It's not like that. They haven't seen a miracle before. And in fact, they had probably just experienced Jesus feeding 4,000 people. They have seen plenty of signs and wonders. But now the Pharisees still come after Jesus and ask for a sign? What? You kind of get it, why Jesus signed deeply in his spirit in Mark chapter 8, 12. Jesus looked at them, signed deeply in his spirit. Why does this generation seeking a sign? And he walked away. Think about it. The Pharisee had seen miracle after miracle. The power and the work of God was so obvious, but they keep asking for a sign. Why don't they get it? How many more miracles do they want to see? So what's the problem with them? What was the problem? The problem was not the evidence. The problem was in them. It was in their hearts. Their hearts were hardened. They are much like the Israelites in the wilderness. The Lord made himself known to them, mighty deeds after mighty deeds, signs and wonders everywhere. And get this, the most important part, the pillar of cloud and fire. The pillar of cloud and fire were right in front of their face. Right in front of their face. Yet the people of God still have doubts. The scripture described them, they are Steve. Connected people with a heart of stone. Look, the Pharisees were so settled in their unbelief as if there was nothing that could unsettle it, not even signs and wonder. We all know another sign or wonders actually don't help them at all. So this is their problem. Hardened hearts that refuse to believe. Now look at the other side of the story. Mark turns the camera to the second group of people, the disciple. Mark chapter 8, 14. So the disciple and Jesus get into the boat and return to the lake after the conversation with the Pharisee. They're tired, they're hungry. Get this. The disciple had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. So Jesus took this opportunity to caution his disciple, hey, watch out. Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisee. Leaven was a common metaphor for corruption, for something that, you know, so small that spreads and changes everything it touches. Jesus is warning them against the evil nature of the Pharisee, the kind of people who demand signs but refuse to believe. Jesus is warning his disciples, don't be like them, okay? Don't be like that kind, don't let that kind of unbelief infect you. But the problem is, the disciple completely missed the point. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. It's very interesting. The disciple was so focused on the bread that even a very clear reference to the leaven of the Pharisee was completely ignored. Why? They completely ignored the spiritual warning by Jesus. Why? Just because they were having a panic attack about lunch. What's going on? What's the matter with the disciple? The disciple were completely preoccupied with bread. And Jesus, aware of this, so he questioned them in verse 17. Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Have your eyes, do you not see? Have your ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? By asking all these questions, Jesus is popping their hearts. He is trying to help them to get back on track. Jesus wants them to remember what he has done. So then Jesus took them back to the memory lane. And verse 19, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they says to him, 12. And 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Think about it. If there was any generation that had no excuse not to believe, it was this one generation. If there was any group of people who have no excuse to trust Jesus, it was this one group of 12 disciples because of the things they have seen, because of the things they have heard, because of the things they have experienced right in front of their eyes and ears. Think about it. Think about what they have experienced so far. Jesus fed 5,000. Jesus fed like 4,000 people. They saw Jesus walk on water in the middle of the storm. They saw Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, and calm the storm. It is not that the disciples have never seen or heard or experienced a miracle before. They did many, many times. So Jesus pinpointed the issues. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Something is very wrong with their hearts. Their problem again was not the evidence. Their problem was in them. It was in their hearts. Their hearts were hardened. You see now, both the Pharisee and the disciple had a heart problem, but they were hardened in a very different ways. The Pharisee had a hardened heart because they stubbornly refused to believe. But the disciple, their hearts become hardened through distraction. The memories of God's power bury, and their faith become completely unsettled just because they lack a loaf of bread. Sound familiar with you? Or me? Anyone? If we are honest with ourselves, are we not like the disciples? We believe, but we are so easily get distracted, and our belief is unsettled by so many other things. I wonder sometimes, if Jesus were asking us the same question tonight, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? What would be our response? It's kind of like Jesus is saying, hey, hello, have I not taken care of you before? Why are you so focused on these things? Why are you worrying about food? You see, the stunning thing is like this. Just bread alone can easily distract us from the awesome and mighty deed of Jesus. Think about it. Just bread alone can easily distract us from the awesome, mighty deeds of Jesus. Think about it. The problem is never the evidence of how powerful Jesus is. The problem is always in us, is in our hearts. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your heart hardened? To be honest, how many more miracles do you want to experience before you will trust Jesus and dedicate your life to him, no matter how tough the situation seems? How many more miracles do you want? Think back 2-3 years ago. Think about the situation that keeps you up all night back then. The exam, maybe the exam you believe you ruined your future. Maybe the job interviews that you thought you messed it up, or maybe a conflict, like an end of relationship or friendship, or the finance you could not see working out. Look, somehow, God carried you through. He brought you here to this moment. You're still breathing, you're still standing, you're still able to worship. And yet now, when we face another new troubling situation, we act as if God has never done anything for us before, as if his track record is empty, as if we are completely on our own. Think about it. Are we like this? So let me ask you a personal question. In the middle of your storm, in the middle of your worry about your job, your health, your relationship, or your future, Jesus turned to you again and asked, how many more miracles do you want to experience before you will trust me? How many more personal encounters with his faithfulness will it take before you said, okay, Jesus, I'm all in, no matter what? Church, that is the questions Jesus is putting in front of us tonight. Let me bring you back into my own journey. Not as a hero, okay? But as someone who is still learning this in real life. After the shocking parts ways with my company, after the anger, the late night worries, I realized I had to do what Jesus had made the disciple do. I had to stop staring at the empty space where my career used to be. I had to count the baskets. I had to remember. So I start listing all the things that God had done for me. And I remember the day when we find out Joyce was pregnant after a long wait. I remember the birth of Hannah, and I remember how God provided our family years after years when we committed to giving to His kingdom. And I remember that the Venue Project in KMC, when we pledged more than we thought we could afford, and God carried us through. I remember walking with Joyce through the sickness, the treatment, the fears, and watching God give us peace and healing that we could never explain. Baskets after baskets of faithfulness. And I realized something powerful. The God who walks with me through Joyce's treatment, sickness, is the same God walking with me through my termination. The God who provide when we have less is the same God who will provide when I have no title. The God of the past is still the same God of my present and future, and He's the same God. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." If He was faithful yesterday, He will be faithful. He will be faithful same yet today. If we provide them, He will provide now. If He made a way when there was no way then, He can do it again. So here's a challenge for all of you, us tonight. Stop staring at the missing bread. Start remembering the one who never left your boat. And that brings us to this moment. Not just for you alone, but all of us together. We are not just a room of individuals with private problems. We are a church in the boat together. Some of you came into this room tonight carrying a massive, suffocating burden of anxiety. You're staring at the diagnosis that terrifies you. You're dealing with a broken relationship. You're facing a job loss or academic failure or unknown future. You're sitting in the boat, staring at one loaf of bread, and you are terrified. Look, Jesus is not shaming you. He is inviting you. And He asks, "Do you not yet understand?" He's asking you to trust Him, to look at Him in the storms, and to remember He's the one who does understand and who does not change. So tonight, we have an opportunity to respond. Not just with a prayer, but we also with a declaration. I want you to do two simple things. Bring to mind the giants in your life right now. The thing seems impossible. The thing scared you. The things that keep you up at night. Maybe it's a medical report. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Or maybe it's your child. Bring that giant into focus. And then what you do now, bring to mind the God of the Bible. The God who separated the Red Sea, who broke down the walls of Jericho, the God who actually walks on water, calmed the storm, fed the 5,000, who raised people from death, and the God who rose from death Himself, that same God is here tonight. And He's asking you, "Do you not yet understand? Will you trust Me?" He says. "Will you dedicate your life to Me?" He says. "Will you let Me be enough?" He says. For me, I choose to remember His might instead of panic. And I remember the God who sustained Joyce through the darkest days of her treatment. I remember God who provided my family long before I got the VP title. I knew the God who provide through a corporate paycheck for 20 years is not suddenly bankrupt or limited because the paycheck stopped. My provider is not our corporation. My provider is the creator of the universe, and he is the same God who provided in the past, and he will provide me now. And remember, he's the same God who answered Jacob when he had nothing but a rock of a pillow. And he's the same God who made a way for Moses through an impossible raging sea, and he hasn't changed. So tonight, I really want us to make a declaration. Our God is in the boat. So stop listening to the voice of fear. Let your heart be softened tonight, and let your memories of his past faithfulness awaken your present courage. Stop staring at the missing bread and start remembering the one who never left your boat. Would you stand with me and pray? Father, we come to you tonight with honest hearts. We confess that we have forgotten. We have seen your miracle, yet we worry. We experience your provision, yet we doubt. We taste your goodness, yet we are anxious. Lord, forgive us for our hardened hearts. And forgive us for focusing on the bread instead of bread of life. Tonight, we all choose to remember your faithfulness in the past. The basket full of leftovers. Remember your prayers you answer, the doors you open, the healings you perform, the peace you gave. And we declare that you are the same God. You were with us then, and you are with us now. You provide then, and you will provide now. You make the way then, and you will make a way now. So for anyone here tonight who is struggling to trust you, I pray that now, you would wrap up your arms around them and let them feel your presence. And we declare that you are enough. You are faithful.
Amen.
We declare that you are the same God, and we believe you will do it again.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.